and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Corruption has many costs, but one of the direct impacts it has is on prices and the quality of goods and services that we pay for. Now, corrupt practices increase the cost of doing business, which is then passed on to the end consumer. Now, in a study by the think tank Ideas Malaysia, they found that corrupt practices in the construction industry, for example, had incurred up to 14.8% of additional costs in property development, a cost that is then passed on to house buyers. Joining me on the show is Deputy Research Director at Ideas Malaysia, Sri Murniati Yusof. Ani, thank you so much for joining me on the show. But before we kind of get into the impact of corruption on consumers, I do want to ask you about recent news. As someone who has been studying Malaysia's anti-corruption efforts and also the way corrupt practices manifest in different sectors in the economy, what are your thoughts on the Corruption Perception Index and how we did, what our scorecard for the most recent ranking?
I think if you recall, Melissa, we from 2021 to 2022, the drop is not that much. But if we compare our score to 2019, it's a very strong reminder that all of us, well, including the government, need to be serious on institutional reform, especially to reduce public sector corruption. So if we look into the sub-indices of CPI, so CPI is a composite index, and for Malaysia, it's made up from 9 other indices. So if we look into this sub-indices of the CPI for Malaysia, one of it is actually World Economic Forum Executive Opinion Survey. The drop in this score, particularly, it's 7-point drop, which means there's an increased perceptions of corruption among this group. So, and the question that asked to this group is actually, there are two questions. The first one, is it how common is it firms to make undocumented extra payment or bribes connected with the following, public utilities, annual tax? And the second question is, how common is it diversion of public funds to companies due to corruption? So I think the sub-indices indicates that there is a need, a very serious effort from the government to reduce public sector corruption.
Right. I really want to talk about those two parts because I think it's really interesting that you brought up the additional, the undocumented additional payments, the kind of clear bribes, and the other way corruption manifests is through diversion of public funds. When we think about corruption and the impact to our wallet, to the prices of the things, of the goods and services that we pay, can you walk us through some of the ways in which we end up, quote unquote, paying for corruption?
I think you mentioned earlier the paper that we published in 2021 indicates that based on our interview and roundtable, and it's a very simple calculation of how bribe construction of property development can increase possibly the price to 14.8%. So there are several forms of corruption there. So one, for example, our respondent said they have to pay bribe for permits. So permit to start the pre-development stage, right? For you to have a property development, you have to have permit. So there are certain costs incurred for that. And I think our papers indicate around 6 million. And then during the development stage, during the construction period, some construction companies have to secure foreign workers. And some of them, of course, undocumented. And if there are inspections from the immigration, from police, they may have to be forced to pay certain bribes. And the cost can be around 100,000 ringgit. And there are other different inspections from, you know, city council, different inspection that may, if they don't comply to certain rules, then they may have to pay for it. So all these costs that they have to pay, bribes, increase the cost of initial cost of construction, and these costs that are passed to us as consumers. So in that way, corruption, this case in the private sectors, or even if, say, for example, if these construction sectors are taken up by GLCs, then pass on to us as consumers.
Right. Just focusing on that example of how corruption manifests in the construction sector, what then would be the way to eliminate? Is it because there are so many moving parts and so many permits and licenses and checks that need to go into property development? Is that why there are opportunities for corruption? How do we eliminate those opportunities?
I think permits, of course, still needed, right? You cannot, I think property developers, they have the councils or the city councils or even relevant authorities need to make sure that the property developer have adequate capitals, know the plan, they are building the plan in the area where it's supposed to be. So the problem now, I think corruption comes, one, of course, opportunities. And second, I think this is where the importance of oversight. By of course the first line would be the legislative, right? We hope a lot because that they are our representative. They are the one who know more about what's happening in the public sector. So the first line of defense would be the oversight from the legislators. The second one then of course us as a civil society organization, for example, can also play the part, oversight part on it. So one, and that can be possible if there are transparent process. Mm-hmm. So if the process of applying permit, for example, are opaque, it's very difficult for us to monitor. It's very difficult for people to monitor the implementation and reduce the potential of corruption. So I think transparency, accountability, robustness of civil society organization as well as the legislative oversight are key to reducing corruption.
You know, when during your interviews and the roundtables and the discussions that you had in trying to put the paper together, the survey together, was it, how entrenched is it? I mean, I'm wondering because it sometimes feels that this is part of the cost of doing business, all the dinners and the entertainment and the what is needed to stack the odds in your favor. Yes, exactly. So what? How entrenched are these practices, and is it seen to be corrupt among industry players?
It's quite difficult. I think there are some players who see it as part of the cost of doing business. You know, you cannot secure certain contracts if you don't entertain your main contractors, for example. You know, you have to bring them to certain entertainment place. People see it as a cost of doing business, but I think that's where something can be done about it, right? I think in a good practice would be to have a gift policy. I mean, I think it's impossible to, people tend to, say for example, tend to appoint people that they know they may, provide some, you want to thank a person for certain things. I think it should be okay, but you have to have, and that's why you have to have a gift policy. How much you can tolerate, so it will not affect the decision, for example. It will not become a corrupt practices, the views of your authority. So there needs to be a gift policy that outlines how much companies or how much agencies even can be allowed to accept that. Petronas, for example, one of the examples that have gift policy. But there's no guarantee.
Hopefully there will be more companies who implement this or enforce this.
Section 70A, Section 70A of the SC now require every company to have adequate procedures to ensure that you are not allowing your staff or even your board members to actually inform corrupt practices. And if you don't have this in place, adequate procedures, that as companies, they actually can be tried, can be brought to the court. So that's why you have adequate procedures in place, including gift-giving policies, conflict of interest policies,
Okay, all right. Well, I've just got a couple more minutes left with you. I do want to ask you, at the start of our conversation, we also talked about the ways in which corruption impacts consumers through the diversion of public funds. Corruption and its perhaps effect on less efficient government spending. I'm thinking about, you know, when government has reduced quality of services, and that may incur costs for consumers. How have you seen that effect on consumers?
I think the obvious one, I think this is something coming out from our round table as well, hospital building. Say, for example, the government has planned to build hospitals in this area. Okay, you have to complete this within 3 years, for example. But then because of the process of securing contractors are not done, following to the procedures, or even, I'm not going to say that there is that corrupt element, could there are potentials of corrupt elements in it, then the project's delayed. Or there are many cases where actually hospitals are delayed. I'm not saying that they are not all corrupt, but there's a possibility that you're not choosing the best contractor for this. And as a result, for example, people who, okay, say in this area A, people can actually come to that hospital within this year, but because the construction is not completed, they have to travel to other town. And that for consumers, that incurs additional costs, right? I mean, if we live in KL, we're quite lucky with public transport, but somewhere in East Coast, for example, where private travel costs can be quite prohibitive. And if you don't have your own transportation, vehicle, then that's it. You have to, that's another cost to incur to customers.
Yeah. Or they might even choose to, you know, or be forced to go to private hospitals instead, right?
Or even forego the treatment itself, because it's just simply, we cannot afford to travel.
Right. And that would be the cost on their lives and health.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Murniati, thank you so much for speaking with me today. I appreciate your time. Sri Murniati Yusof, Deputy Research Director at the think tank Ideas Malaysia, wrapping up this block of Consider This. We're going to take a very quick break here on the show. We'll be right back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our discussion about how corruption negatively impacts the consumer. We heard earlier of how corruption in the construction sector can incur up to 15% increase in costs of property development, a cost that is then passed on to house buyers. Associate Professor Dr. Jeffrey Yap joins me now. He is a built environment lecturer at University Tunku Abdul Rahman, Utah. Jeffrey, thank you for joining me on the show today. I'm just wondering, in what ways does corruption manifest in the construction sector? I mean, at what stage of the project, of the supply chain, does corruption tend to take place?
Thanks for having me, Melissa. Appreciate it. Corruption is actually the elephant in the construction room that needs to be recognized and deliberated. It is important to actually note why construction is susceptible to corrupt practices. In our previous study back in 2019, we found the global causes can be categorized into three themes. First is the nature of the construction industry, looking at the uniqueness of projects, meaning to say that every projects are basically different. The fragmented construction process, the complex transaction chains, the work consumption, the lack of transparency, and also scale of the infrastructure investment. These characteristics basically make the benchmarking of cost and time extremely difficult, as there is no standard yardstick to evaluate the different project requirements and also site condition, therefore simplifying the task of obscuring and inflating the cost of hiding bribes. For example, the competitive tendering process can also lead to practices where marginal companies may engage in bribes to corrupt officials to win lucrative construction contracts. Increasingly, the tighter tender margins can also compel some construction professionals to engage in corrupt practices to keep their businesses afloat. Because nowadays, there's also have been reduced workload in the market.
Right.
Apart from that, colluding parties may cooperate secretively to remove open and fair competition by deception. Collective tendering basically offers a poor value for money as a result of covering bids, bid suppression, bid rotation, and also non-conforming bids. The second aspect is looking at the regulatory system, where regulatory specific factors such as the multiple license or permits, the overcomplicated official procedures, lack of stringent supervision, and also perhaps inadequate sanctions.
Mm.
The third and interesting part to look at is these negative influences, where human greed and self-centeredness are a powerful motivational forces that led to unethical practices. Negative social norms can also significantly influence the decision over whether to engage in corrupt acts.
Okay, that's quite interesting. Can I pull at the last thread that you said, the third part of your answer where you talked about maybe the landscape, the culture, construction culture. How entrenched is corruption in the sector? I mean, I'm just wondering, given that, you know, you often hear about how entertainment, all these kind of meal treats, they're not really seen as a form of bribery or corruption, but just as a part of doing business, the cost of doing business.
Yeah, basically, corruption doesn't exist only in construction, but I would say in any other industry. The only thing is that the certain characteristics that I highlighted earlier, being the nature of the construction industry, one of the important part is the last investment involved, and also that perhaps will be one of the aspect why people always perceive construction is one of the most corrupted industry in the economy.
So you mentioned that each of the projects are unique, right? And there are so many moving parts that it makes it difficult to have a benchmark, to have standards in terms of cost and time. How does the construction industry then look to, how can the construction industry look to improve that? Are there ways to ensure that if there are industry best practices and benchmarks, then auditing might be easier. You know, you have more of a framework as to not incentivize corruption to happen.
Yes, definitely. There will be some effective preventive measures that can help to reduce the industry's vulnerability to corruption. Looking back to our field survey involving 112 construction practitioners back in 2019, the top three measures that we identified were looking at the aspect of enforcement of law, regulation, and sanction. Right, so a coordinated approach of the various government agencies and bodies is also needed for a coherent strategy, where stringent deterrence and sanctions are also needed to impose a fear factor to both the givers and the takers of bribes, and to remind stakeholders at all levels that the corruption is illegal and will be heavily punished, right? The second important aspect perhaps will be looking into the high integrity and honest construction culture, right? The construction stakeholders, be it the construction organization or the public officials, need to establish a culture whereby corruption is not an acceptable social norm, but it is recognized or acknowledged as an unlawful act. Individual value or belief are effective predictors of ethical decision. Therefore, this is also highly associated with the professional ethics education.
Mm, right.
Yeah, next is looking at the effective reporting channel, right? The credibility and efficiency of the reporting tools, such as the independent hotline, to report corruption, or would be able to help to investigate and also expose the suspected corruption. Empowering people to voice their concern relating to the corruption would also help promote the accountability and governance in governance. Next is perhaps also the development of a well-structured whistleblowing mechanism to avoid whistleblowers from being victimized. Right. Of course, the auditing aspect is also one of the critical parts, but I only highlight the three top findings that we found from the survey that we
conducted. I mean, those are all very practical recommendations, and I think can be applied to other sectors, not just construction. Where do you see the challenges in trying to implement some of these great policy recommendations into a sector that is as complex and multifaceted as the construction sector?
A commitment to greater transparency and accountability, such as publishing construction contracts and implementation details, is needed to improve the efficiency, governance, and reduce costs. As such, the award of projects must also be strictly merit-based, with rigorous supervision and audit. Additionally, the leadership of government agencies, business entities also need to set an example with a strong tone against corruption that makes ethical performance a strategic priority. Another sustainable transformation to eradicate corruption is to cultivate moral values, right, in the children, to become responsible future members of the society, and also to strengthen the ethical training of the related stakeholders. Then developing countries such as Malaysia, for example, we can also emulate the best practices from the least corrupted countries in the world. Nearest to us, perhaps, would be Singapore. If I think the typical fraud triangle actually look at corruption is induced by three elements, which are the opportunity, which are the pull effect, the rationalization, looking at self-justification, the pressure is the need. If we can address these three aspects, then it will be crucial for preventing its occurrence in the construction industry.
Jeffrey, in the couple of minutes that we have left, I mean, as someone, as a lecturer in the built environment, when you're teaching your students, can I ask you, what is the fear if anti-corruption measures within the construction sector isn't properly addressed? What if this issue is there's no real will behind addressing this issue?
Basically, the repercussions of the common issues that we face in construction will be there will be cost overruns, there will be defective works, there will be a low return of investment, underdevelopment of the construction industry, lack of productivity, project being abandoned, and also perhaps schedule delays. It is also worth mentioning that these unethical practices will significantly increase the cost escalation during the selection, planning, and also the delivery of projects. To compensate for the additional costs used to pay for bribes, the contractor can be forced to reduce the quality and quantity of the project deliverable. Therefore, it is worth mentioning that low quality construction can dramatically reduce the lifespan of the infrastructure, which then necessitates more maintenance work, significantly impact on the national socioeconomic growth. So corruption and ethical behaviors, I think, can also increase the worker and public and health safety when non-compliance works are basically being performed at the sites.
Jeffrey, thank you so much for speaking with me today. Associate Professor Dr. Jeffrey Yap from Utah. Wrapping up this episode of Consider This, I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.